It is all about Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? And our lives need to be all about Jesus, don't they? Don't they? Are they? They need to be, but are they? They should be, but are they? They ought to be, but are they? That is the true question. I think every one of us need to ask ourselves, is our life really all about Jesus, or is it all about ourselves? And it is so easy to make our lives about ourselves. What we want out of life, what will bring us happiness, what will bring us joy. We won't find happiness, joy, peace, contentment, any of that when we're focused on finding it for ourselves. We will only find it when we start focusing on Jesus and what we can do for God's kingdom. Because that's what we were created for. So when we finally do what we were created for, that's where we find contentment. You know, you think of a tool when it's finally used for its purpose. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't it? If you use the wrong tool for the wrong thing, what happens? Think about it. Anybody, you guys that carry pocket knives, you ever use them as a screwdriver or maybe to pry something open? You ever done that? What happens? They break, they bend, they nick, whatever. Why? They're not being used for the right purpose. You're using them for something other than what they were created for. And you know, in our lives, so often we are being used for the wrong purpose. We're focused on ourselves and what we can get out of life. Our purpose is serving God. That is why we were created and what we were created for. So when we finally are about the right purpose, things work better. I always tell Tammy I need new tools. Because you gotta have always. You gotta have the right tool for the right job, right? Because then things work so much better. We are the tool, but we need to make sure we understand our job, and that is to serve in God's kingdom. That is not the sermon this morning, sorry. We are back in Philippians, or we are in Philippians still, I should say. And this, I think, will be our last week in Philippians. And really, originally, I intended, you know, there's four chapters in Philippians. And my intent was we'll be in Philippians for 4 weeks and kind of see what God has to tell us. And obviously, I think it's been 6, maybe 7 weeks. Because Philippians, like all of God's Word, it is full of just so much good stuff. And as we've looked at Philippians, just a reminder, I'll give you a little quiz this morning and see if you've been listening. Who wrote it? Paul. Who did he write it to? The church in Philippi. Where did he write it from? Prison. Paul was in prison. Again, a place where if most of us found ourselves, we would probably spend our time, well, I shouldn't say for you, I should say for me. I would probably likely spend a good portion of that time complaining because I wouldn't want to be there. I would want my freedom and to do the things I want to do, and I would complain. If I wrote a letter to you, I hope I would be encouraging, but you know what would probably be a lot of that letter? Get me out of here. I don't care what you have to do. Hire a better attorney. Break me out. I don't know. Get me out of here. Paul, as he wrote to the church in Philippi, was not even on the radar screen. He didn't write about any of that. He wrote encouraging them. And as we looked at the book of Philippians, one of the things that is really the theme of it that we've talked about is where Paul told them that God is still working on them. That they are a work, a creation of God. God creates us the first time in our mother's womb, right? We read in Psalms and it says we are knit together, we are woven together in our mother's womb. God forms all of our parts, our little innards and all those things that are inside us that the biology teacher can tell you all about later. He creates all that so that it all works, which is amazing, isn't it? Forms all those little tiny fingers and toes that I'm looking at here on Lennox this morning. And it's an amazing creation of God. He did that for every one of us. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we have to understand that God has begun a new process in our lives. And that is creating us and forming us into the people that He wants us to be. So in a sense, God's kind of starting all over on us, isn't He? And we have to remember that too, because when somebody first accepts Jesus Christ as a believer, are they going to be the same as when somebody's been a believer for 50 years? Are they going to be the same? Are they going to be able to handle the same things and do the same things as a believer for 50 years? Can Lennox or Lillian or Oliver that are here this morning, can they do all the same things the rest of us can do? Christina, you going to let her drive home today? Any of you ever see a baby behind a steering wheel? If you did, it's a problem, right? They can't do that. They're all going to be carried out of this room this morning, aren't they? Why? Yeah, they still have a lot of things to learn. And that's the thing we need to remember with every one of our lives as believers. We still have a lot to learn. We're not done growing. As long as we are alive and breathing, we are still growing and God is still creating in us. So we need to keep that in mind when we have expectations of other people. We're all in different places in our development as Christians. But we all have to remember God is still working on us. So we've looked at that a lot in the book of Philippians. We've also looked at as God molds us, He is molding us so that we have what He calls the mind of Christ. So that we begin to think more and more like Jesus thought. How are you doing at that? You know, Travis, what he shared earlier, that bullseye where God wants us to be, that is having the mind of Christ. That is thinking like Jesus thought. How close to that bullseye in your life are you? You don't have to answer out loud. Are you in the bullseye? Are you in that next ring? Maybe the next ring out. Maybe the furthest ring. Maybe you're just on the paper and you're feeling good about it. Maybe you missed the whole target. Where are you at? But think, that middle is where God wants us to be, and that is having the mind of Christ, thinking the way that He thought. Philippians also gave us a warning. It said, beware. And that whole chapter was about beware. Don't let it become about yourself. And we've already talked about that because it is very easy in life to let it become about ourselves. And then last week we talked about peace that we can have. Peace is not a natural state to be in on this earth. It's not. We don't just all, if we do nothing, automatically have peace. That isn't the way it works. There's a way to get there, a path we have to follow. And it shared very clearly that we find that peace when we can get over the worry and anxiety in our lives, and we do that through prayer. So all these things Philippians has talked about. But I didn't want to just cover chapter 4 in 1 week last week, because there's some other things in chapter 4 I really wanted to focus on. And this morning we're going to look at some more scriptures that are going to be, I will say this, and I think I can say it with confidence, they're going to be a challenge for you. You ready for a challenge? Two of you are ready for a challenge. The reason I am fairly confident that it will be a challenge for you is because it's a challenge for me. It is a challenge for anyone, I think, that spends much time here on this earth. So, with all that being said, if you have your Bibles, look in Philippians chapter 4. And please follow along. If you found it and you're able to stand, I would ask you to do so. We're going to read Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10. And this is what God's Word shares with us. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of the sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look at your word this morning, I do pray, Lord, that you would challenge us with your word. That you would challenge us to get closer and closer to the mark, to where you want us to be. that the thoughts or opinions that we have that don't line up with the mind of Christ, that we would be able to force those out and replace them with the way Jesus thought, the way Jesus viewed life, the love that he had for others, the truth that he shared. I pray those things, Lord, would shape us, not our own opinions. So speak to us through your word this morning, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So we're going to talk about a huge area as we think about God continuing to work in our lives. Are there areas where you think God needs to work a little bit more? Some areas where you're like, I'm doing pretty good at that, but some other areas, oh yeah, God's got his work cut out for him there. That is the reality of our lives, isn't it? Well, what I want to talk about that I think is probably a challenge often in our lives is beginning in verse 11. Look at what it shares. Paul is writing and he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What do you think we're going to talk about this morning? Being content. And I'll just start off by asking, are you? Think about what it means to be content. And Paul says he's learned to be content in whatsoever state he finds himself. But think about all the areas where we can be discontent. Think of all the areas where we can lack the quality of being content. And I wrote some of them down. Are we always content with our health? Where we are with our health in life? Are we always content with that? Are we always content with the job that we have? Are we always content with our finances, with how much money we have in our bank account or our pocket? Are we always content with our looks, how we look? Are we always content with the vehicles we drive? Are we always content with the clothing that we wear? And these are just a few. There's so many other things that we can ask. Are we content? Isn't there? And how do we do with these things? Are we always content with all those things? Do you ever wish your bank account was bigger? Nobody wants to admit it. I have wished my bank account was bigger. Do you ever wish that you had a better car? You see some smiles, but nobody's saying yes. How you look? Have you always been content with that? Maybe you think your nose is too big. Maybe you think your nose is too small. You think you're too short. You think you're too tall. You think you're too fat. You think you're too thin. You think you wish your hair were curly, or if you have curly hair, you wish it were straight. You wish your hair weren't gray. You wish you had hair. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can be discontent with, isn't there? We look at movie stars. I wish I looked like that. We can be discontent with so many things. And here's the problem, that lack of contentment can eat us up in life, can it? Because when we have that lack of contentment, it leads to problems. It leads to trouble. Think of all the instances in the Bible where there was a lack of contentment and it led to issues. And we can go back pretty much clear to the beginning, can't we? God created, we talked about God creating already. He created everything, right? He created Adam and Eve, and he put them where? How would you describe the Garden of Eden? Perfect. Beautiful place. The verse we read, my God shall supply all your needs, right at the end of what we read, right? Verse 19. When God created the Garden of Eden, and he put Adam and Eve in it, was God supplying all their needs? Yes. Beautiful place. Should they have been content? Were they? All of that, God just said, just don't eat that one. The one over here, just leave it alone. You have all these other things to be content with. Just leave that alone. Could they do it? So why did Eve eat of it? She wasn't content with what God had given her. She wanted the one thing she didn't have. Are we ever like that? And that's, you know, that's clear at the beginning of the Bible. From Adam and Eve on, that lack of contentment has caused sin. It's caused wars. It's caused the search for power. It's caused other sins like adultery. Why does adultery happen? I know there can be a lot of reasons, but at its core, why does adultery happen? Why are people unfaithful? Because they're not content with what they have. They don't want what they have. What do they want? What's over here? Why? Oh, because that's certainly better than what I've got. Isn't that the core of it? You can disagree, but isn't it? And it's the same thing as Eve went through, right? She had this that was great, but she wanted the one thing over there. It's got to be better. Sin, adultery, wars, materialism, envy, theft. Why do all those things happen? Because someone is not content. Our son-in-law in Columbus, his car got stolen a month ago or so. It's back, and that's a whole other story. But why did somebody steal that car? Because they were driving around. They're like, hey, how about that car? Happens to be running. There's nobody in it right now. I think I'll just take that. The lack of contentment is the root of so many things. Because in our lives, we get into this groove of just wanting more and more and more and more. And when we start chasing after that more, and whatever it is, it can be looks. We've already talked about looks, right? How much time do people spend in the United States chasing after their looks? Spending money on their, I'm not stepping on toes here, but chasing after how we look. There are people that spend, I talked about movie stars earlier. How much money is spent on like plastic surgeries? Why do they do all those things? To look younger, because they're not content with where they're at that moment in time. They want to look like they did 20 years before, which you can understand, right? Would you like to look like you looked 20 years ago? Probably, unless you're Adam's age. For the rest of us, would you like to look like what you looked 20 years ago? Am I alone in that? I really wouldn't mind looking like I did 20 years ago. I didn't have as much gray hair. This wasn't gray. There's a lot of things. I had fewer wrinkles. Would you like those things? And these people spend, and again, I'm not stepping on toes with this, but all the money and time that is spent chasing after looking younger stems from what? A lack of contentment with where you're at. Paul, look again at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says he's learned that, doesn't he? Does it come natural? Are you just naturally content with what you have? No, it doesn't come naturally. You look at kids from a really young age, way down when they're in preschool, and they're just starting to learn things. If they see something that somebody else has and they want it, what do they often do? They take it. Again, because they're not content with what they have, they want the toy that the other child has. Doesn't matter what it is. If the other child has it, it must be better than what they have. And they want it. That discontentment is something we are born with that comes naturally. Being content does not come naturally. It's something we have to learn, that God teaches us. We've talked about being shaped and molded. God is trying to mold you to be content where you're at in life. Does that mean it's wrong to want a better job? No, that's fine. But how much time do you devote to that? Do you devote more time to that than you do to God? Is it wrong to want more in your bank account? No, but the question is, how much time do you spend chasing after that? Is that your number one priority, or is serving God your number one priority? Is there anything wrong with wanting a new car? No, it's fine, as long as that doesn't begin to control your thoughts and your actions. It's all about our priorities and learning. Paul said, look in verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Look at what he says after this. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. Everywhere and in all things. That means everywhere we're at, anything in our life, we need to learn to be content. And folks, I understand it is not always easy. But I think of those in life that are content and the things we can learn from them. I think, and I know he's not here often now when Ron goes pick him up, but Wally, who's in the nursing home now. I don't think he'd care if I talked about him for a moment. In talking with Wally, do you think he wants to be in a nursing home? Do you think he said, I can't wait till I get in a nursing home? Nobody says that, do they?
No.
That's not where Wally wanted to be. But it has been a tremendous encouragement to me to hear Wally share. And Wally's not perfect. He's like the rest of us. But the thing that has been amazing to hear him share that helps me grow in my life is when he shared, yeah, this isn't my first choice. I don't really want to be here. But I've got to be okay with it because that's what God tells me to do. To be content with what I have, to be content with where I am, as Paul was sharing. And again, where was Paul writing from? Prison. Do you think he said, boy, I hope I go to prison. That's where I want to be. No. But he was saying he learned in whatsoever state he was in, wherever he was, he had learned to be content. Learned to understand that God can use him wherever he is at and in whatever circumstances he is in, God can use him. That is what it is all about. And this learning to be content is really where God wants us to be. So how do we get there? Do we just automatically, oh, the pastor talked about being content, so now I'm content with everything in my life. Is that the way it works?
No.
You automatically, because you heard the word this morning, you're going to leave content in life. How do we get there? It's a process. One step at a time. But if you've noticed the last few weeks, when it gives us a challenge, God also gives us the way to meet that challenge. He gives us the recipe. He gives us the answer. Last week, we talked about anxiety and worry. What was the recipe? What was the solution to anxiety and worry? Prayer. Instead of worry, it's said to take all things to God in prayer. In verse 6, be careful, be anxious about nothing, and everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The solution to worry is prayer. The solution to not being content in life is also found here, and it's found in verse 13. I can do all things, what does it say after that? Through Christ, who strengthens me. It's the realization that we cannot do it on our own. We can't. Sometimes, there are a lot of things that bother you in life. There's a lot of things sometimes that bother me in life. Little pet peeves we have. I've always had a pet peeve. You know, sometimes you see these inspirational signs. You can see them all over. Maybe it's a doctor's office, a school. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with motivational signs, but there's a couple of them. You're smiling. You know what I'm going to say. All right. What am I going to say? All right. Tammy's sitting, I can't believe he's going there. Sometimes you see the sign that says, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. You ever see that? If you believe it, you can achieve it. You ever see that? That sounds great, doesn't it? I'm not saying it's a horrible message, but is it true?
No.
Just because you dream it, just because you believe it, does that mean you can achieve it? No. No. I think it'd be pretty cool to play in the NBA. I don't watch basketball much, especially NBA anymore, but that'd be kind of cool. You think I can achieve it? I really want it. What if I really want it badly? Can I achieve it? Why not? You can make a list. Why not? It's not hard, folks. Why would I not make that goal or dream? That hurts, Jim. Jim says, you're too old now. It's true. Hurts, but it's true. Well, that hurts too. I don't move the way I did a few years ago. Okay? My coach called me a slow white guy that couldn't jump. Yes, that did actually happen. I don't know, Chad, do you remember that? You were probably there. There's a lot of reasons that I could not achieve that. It doesn't matter how much I wanted it. There are things in our lives spiritually that we have to understand that we cannot achieve on our own. We can't. Just saying, I want to be content and I'm going to really focus on it, I'm going to put my mind to being content, isn't going to get you there. It doesn't matter how hard you strive and how hard you try to be content, that is not enough. Here's the harsh reality, you are not enough. And we don't like being told this, but you can't do it. All right, turn to somebody and say, you can't do it. It'll probably feel good, I don't know. Some of you are enjoying that way too much. Pointing the finger and everything. But folks here, and we can laugh about that, but understand that's the truth. We can't do it. In ourselves, of our own power, we don't have enough of it. We don't have enough resolve. We don't have the ability just to instantaneously change the way we think and the way we act. We cannot do that. Paul doesn't say in verse 13, I can do all things when I put my mind to it. He does not say that, does he? Putting your mind to it is not enough. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens him. So where does that strength and that power come from? From God, not from ourselves. Because again, we don't have that ability. We don't have that power. We don't have that strength. It is all through Jesus Christ. If you want to be content in life the way God wants you to be content, you need to not just focus and strive to be content and have that kind of resolve. You need to pray about it. You need to ask God, give me the strength to be content with where I'm at. And God will begin to teach you. That's why Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. It didn't happen automatically. God worked on him. And sometimes that work means God may put you through some difficult situations. Do we understand that? Did Paul go through difficult situations? How do you think he learned to be content? By God just giving him everything he wanted and needed? No. God taught him to be content by sometimes putting him in some difficult circumstances. Paul says he was shipwrecked, he was waylaid by robbers, he was in perils, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was put in prison multiple times. All these things, do you think through all that, God helped teach him that contentment? Folks, being content is where God wants us to be. Being content with what he has seen fit to give us. Not chasing after more, more, more in life, because folks, that will never get you to being content. You want a new car today and you get it? That's wonderful. What are you going to want tomorrow? Or next year? Another one. What are you going to want a few years from then? Another one. And that new car you get, is it going to stay new? You going to stay content with it when it has some rust and some dents in it? Are you? No, folks, you don't find contentment by chasing after these things. You build your bank account. That's great. Are you going to find contentment there? Because you build it to a certain level, and then what's going to happen? I don't know why I'm fuzzy. You build your bank account to a certain level, and you think you're going to be content when you get to this point. And what happens? You're not. And then you think, well, yeah, that's fine, but when I get to this level, then I'll really be content. And you get there, and well, yeah, that's great, but you know, it's that next step up, then I'll really be content. And it becomes a vicious cycle. It never ends. You will never find contentment and peace in those things. You will find contentment when you focus on Jesus Christ, when you rely on his strength, not your own. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Folks, don't rely on yourself. You will come up short. And I'm not telling you that because I don't like you. I'm telling you that because it's the truth. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on God. Look to him. You want contentment in life? Ask him for it. Pray about it. And I believe that God will answer that prayer. And in the end, that verse that we already looked at once, verse 19. That is what we truly need to understand. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And again, how does that verse end? By Christ Jesus. Again, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? You know, that's why we changed the song and sang that song, You Are My All in All. It's all about Jesus. That's what it comes down to. It's all about Jesus and understanding God will supply our needs. We don't have to chase after this and this and this and that to try to find contentment. We have to understand God will meet our needs. Our number one job isn't to chase after things. It's to chase after God. Period. Find contentment, but find it through Jesus Christ, not through the things the world offers, because it won't get you there. Pray about it. Ask for the power and strength of Jesus Christ to mold you into a person, to teach you that ability to be content. And folks, I think being content is one of the greatest things in life, isn't it? We talk about peace. You can't have peace if you're not content. Contentment is key, but we find it not through ourselves. We find it through Jesus Christ. It is all about him. He is the only way to heaven. Said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So our way to heaven is all about Jesus Christ. Our lives here are to be all about Jesus Christ. The strength that we have is to be all about Jesus Christ. Folks, it comes down to it's not about us, it's all about Jesus Christ. And I pray in our lives we look to him and understand that. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for the way that you desire to mold us. I pray that we would be willing to be molded. And help us to remember, Lord, that we find contentment not through just acquiring more and more. We don't find contentment by chasing after the next new thing. We find contentment in you, in knowing that our lives are right with you and focusing on spiritual things, not the physical. But Lord, we can't do that on our own. We need your help. So I pray, Lord, that you would, as it said in your word, strengthen each one of us to be the people that you want us to be. We cannot get there on our own. We can only do it with you. So Lord, work in our hearts, work in our lives. Mold us, shape us into what you want us to be. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, as we close, this altar is open. Remember, above all else, it's all about Jesus Christ. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to make it because you cannot do it on your own. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, do it this morning. And maybe you asked Jesus Christ in your heart a long time ago, but he is not your all in all. Come and talk to him about it. Make him your all in all today. Make sure your life is all about Jesus and not you. Becky, why do we need him every hour? Because we cannot do it on our own. We are not enough. We are only enough in and through Jesus Christ. So remind yourself of that each and every morning as you get up and face the day. Remember you need him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, as we leave this place, I do pray that you'd help us each moment to remember how much we need you. We need you truly every hour, every moment. When we're left to our own devices, we will fall short. But it's through your strength, through your power, that we can be the people you want us to be. So help us to remember that, Lord. Watch over us as we leave this place. Mold us into the people you want us to be. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.